Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Each year I get to wear this t-shirt. It's once a year that I get to wear this. So it's Ruby and April when they were obviously a lot smaller. So they're walking all over me and, pushing me around from the back. And, I just get so don't look too closely because 14, 15 years old, I can't wash it. So it's getting a little bit, not smelly, relax. I'm just saying it's getting a bit big. That's right. I used to be bigger. But sometimes, it's amazing as parents, it's amazing how fast our kids grow up, isn't it? You're kind of like in the blink of an eye, it is just, wow, how did they become 15 and 12 just like that? I was thinking about it too, that sometimes we forget that, we celebrate Jesus as baby Jesus, but Jesus grew up and became a man. I get the Jesus meek and mild thing, but I can't stand if that's your kind of primary sort of reflection and understanding of who Jesus is, because Jesus grew to be a man, and I would argue that he was the toughest man that ever walked on this planet. And I'm not talking about tough in terms of macho, bravado, and that, like, a bit of mixed martial arts, UFC, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, whatever. Not saying that. I'm sure he probably would have mastered them if he'd put his mind to it. But in terms of his character and the man that he was and exemplifying what it means to be a man, Jesus was just the ultimate as far as I'm concerned, and then willingly giving his life to suffer and endure that without retaliation is a sign of incredible depth of character and courage and bravery and all the things that I hold in high regard as to what it means to be a man. And so therefore there are many aspects about the man Jesus that we are called to be transformed more and more into the likeness and image of. Talking to men here for a minute, but as husbands, fathers, whatever role we get to play. And the reality is, in a church community like this, as we continue to grow, we are going to need more and more male role models that fit that description. And I'm not going to shy away from the fact that men need to be men, that some of us, need to man up, and we need to just to like get sure about our convictions and start living them out and making no apology for that. But I'll get off my little soapbox and I'll come back to our message today. And that is a particular parable. So I have no idea why I just said that, but let's get into our message, because I'm talking this morning about the parable of the Father's good gifts. Who likes gifts? The rest of you must be liars. No, look, I mean, I know it's better to... good gifts. It's better to give than it is to receive. Isn't it interesting that a lot of the neuroscience research these days is actually proving there is a greater sense of recorded happiness and feelings of elation when you give higher than when you actually receive? Wow, they're just finally, yet again, proving what the Bible's been saying for thousands of years. But it is better to give. But at the end of the day, we all like to receive a good gift when it's coming from the right place and it's something that we really desire or would really like. If you understand the five love languages, that is one of the primary love languages by which people either operate or receive love by. And so this particular parable really resonates with me because I'm more of a gifts kind of guy. I don't say that because I want gifts. I'm not saying that, all right? But feel free. It says... No, look, it's funny because my wife does this from time to time, and Michael will kind of like just leave a bag of dried apricots, the Australian dried apricots, on my desk and just go, just to make sure I love you, because, words can't always be enough, but, the gifts are great and that'll buy me a protein bar or something like that and it's all good. But turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 to 11. Matthew 7. Just put your hand up in the air when you found it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. Put your hand up so I can see if you found it. Okay, got to bring your Bible to church, people. So you should be able to underline stuff and write stuff when you feel challenged or want to come back to it later. So before we read, let's pray. Father, this morning, we acknowledge you that you are our Father in heaven, and hallowed holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father, this morning we come from all different backgrounds and experiences of fatherhood, some great, not some not so, but, Father, we are shown, we are taught, reminded throughout Scripture again and again that, this is hard to get our heads around sometimes, that you are a good Father, you are a loving, holy Father, you are everything a father should be and more. And we get to come into relationship with you because the generosity of your heart as a father of giving your son Jesus Christ to us and for us, that we can be in this relationship with you and be adopted into your family as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so, Father, this morning as we just talk briefly around an aspect of your character, your nature, I pray that we'd have hearts to be open. I even pray right now against any preconceived ideas that are contrary to your word, that, Father, we'd be willing to unlearn, that we would be willing to embrace what your word says as it's illuminated to us by the power of your Holy Spirit in this place here this morning, because that's what we want. We want you, Holy Spirit, to come and to make this word alive in our hearts so it transforms our mind and our thinking and our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said? Amen. So Matthew chapter 7 verse 9 says, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts?" Everybody say good gifts.
Good gifts,
good gifts to those who ask him. Everybody say ask him. Asks him. And then this parable is also found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 11. And it says there, and just notice there are some slight differences. "You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Okay, so there's obviously some similarities and there are some differences. First of all, the differences here, and this is Jesus talking to a large crowd, not just the disciples. He's talking to a large crowd, which includes the disciples. We've got here the idea around asking for fish and receiving a snake instead. Now, eels type of fish can be similar to a snake and very common in the area that we're talking about. And now an egg, if I ask for an egg, are the parent going to give you a scorpion? Now, some of the larger scorpions, when they're curled up, can almost look or take the appearance of like that egg shape. So there was sort of like a similarity in the expression. Obviously, scorpions are everywhere and they get the context, and eggs were a significant part of the diet. And then finally, the bread and stone. And we got like bread in the area was flat and it was round and often tan-shaped when it was cooked, similar to what a stone could look like. So the listeners could relate to what Jesus was saying here. And the other difference that we see is that Matthew says that our Heavenly Father will give us good gifts, whereas Luke says that your Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit when you ask. Now, it's interesting, if you take a look through the book of Luke, Luke has this, I'll call it a fascination, emphasis on the Holy Spirit in his teachings, in his writings. So you can look at that for yourself. I've got a great book called The Charismatic Theology of Luke, if you want to read it. It's a really good insight into that emphasis that Luke has on the Holy Spirit. But it's one of those differences that we see here, that Matthew is talking about good gifts, but Luke is more specific in saying, give you the Holy Spirit when you ask. I'll come back to that in just a minute, but the key point here, I think, is that the Heavenly Father gives good gifts. He's a God that gives good gifts. He won't give things that are detrimental or useless. He won't give us things that won't align to what his word has to say. Is it possible to get the house lights on in here? Can we get the big lights? Just seeing, I can't see faces. I like to see faces. So this is we have this Heavenly Father that wants to give us good gifts. Is that not good? Oh, hello. There's people here today. Wow. There's a lot of you too. Wow. But I mean, isn't it encouraging to know we have a Father, a God who wants to give us good gifts? And I want to really kind of press this home this morning. What is your understanding of who God is to you? The understanding of who God is determines what you believe God can do. So like if you have a misconception, a misunderstanding, this preconceived idea that God is just like an angry man waiting for you to stuff up and he's wanting to kind of like bust your chops, you're going to miss kind of this idea that we've got a God that wants to give you good gifts, because you'll be cowering and you're shrinking back in fear as opposed to running into the open arms of a loving, caring God that wants the best for your life. He's more committed to your success than even the dreams and desires that you have for your own life. I love the fact that no matter how big your dreams and desires are, Ephesians 3:20 says that, hey, that's big, but guess what? I can do even more. And then you go, you know what? Well, I'm going to dream a bit bigger, God. I'll show you. And you kind of come up with something bigger. God goes, that's okay, but I can do more. And you go, okay, I got to think bigger. I got to think the context. At the moment, as a church, we're going through this process of really looking into an extension of our mission and vision and direction where we go as a church in the next, you know, 18 months, 2 years. And it's been really challenging because, you know, God wants to build on what's happened in the past. He doesn't want to leave us the way we are. He wants us transformed to be more impacting, more influential, having a great impact on our community and beyond. He doesn't want us just to settle where we've been. We have a God who wants more for your life. Now, I'm preaching a prosperity doctrine that it's all about stuff. Let's not be that superficial or shallow. We have a God that's going, hey, I've got more than you could dream or imagine. I've got more. And he's a God that wants to give us good gifts. Now, let's be clear. What we think is a good gift and what God thinks is a good gift might be two very different things. Ferrari. Think bigger, Artie. Because let me give you an example. The Apostle Paul, the man himself, he had a thorn in his flesh, didn't he? He had that thing. Now, you and I would think it would be a good thing if he got rid of that, but he prays 3 times. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. So our understanding what a good gift is might be different to what God's understanding is. And so this morning, I don't want to get caught up in, you know, a sermon on prayer and what or how we should ask and the providence and the sovereignty of God and all of that sort of thing. But we need to understand any passage in the context of the verses surrounding it and the chapter from which it's in and what's happening around it. We should get that by now with the parable series that we're looking through. Now, the context of this particular parable in both situations, in Matthew and Luke, the preceding verses are about great teaching and challenges on how we should pray. So, for example, when we take a look at Matthew gives that wonderful challenge to us about that when we come before God, we've got to be willing to ask, seek, and knock. We're called to ask, seek, and knock. We're called to ask, seek, and knock. We're called to ask, seek, and knock. You go, Phil, you've said that already. The point is, in the Greek, it's in the present tense. So just because I asked 5 seconds ago, I am now called to ask, seek, and knock. So it's the context. Jesus comes out of that teaching, and then he says, when you ask, you have this God that wants to give you good gifts. But sometimes it takes perseverance. Sometimes it takes persistence. You see, Luke, on the other hand, comes out of the teaching on the Lord's Prayer, which we all know, I assume, and the parable of the friend at midnight being persistent in going to get something for his guests that were coming and just being persistent about that, that persistence in prayer, and the Lord's Prayer being a model for how we are to pray. So this parable about this loving God that wants to give us good gifts comes in the context and out of persistence in prayer and an understanding of what prayer is. But the reality is, some of us in this room, we don't have because we don't ask, as James says, or we ask with the wrong motives. Now, for me, prayer is not trying to get before God and twist God's arm into telling him and getting him to do what I want. I think one of the greatest things that can happen in prayer and in the presence of God is that I have my will conformed to the will and mind of God. So therefore, what I do start to pray is in line with what God wants anyway. So it's not about me trying to twist God's arm. It's actually kind of me trying to align myself with what it is that God actually desires in my life and circumstances that I'm bringing before him. And so I love this challenge that we have about this persistent in prayer and then a reminder and sort of capping it off saying, when you think about prayer, don't forget you've got this loving Father that wants to give you good gifts. And some of us in this room, and I put myself in this category because I struggle with this bit. I'm so much better, put it simply as that, at having the faith for, believing for, and the sowing part into other people's lives and into situations, into circumstances, into the life of this church, and believing that God can do great things, and then I'm totally open to see God's blessing and the answer and the provision from God in that context, than I am in my own personal life and, dare I say, my own family. Why? Because sometimes we get this attitude that, like, when I ask, it's all good and well and we should be, you know, just doing whatever we can and sowing and seeking God and that sort of stuff. But if we sow, we have to understand there will be a season and time when God wants you to reap. Now, I'm not comfortable with the reaping, if I was to be honest. But we've got to understand, we've got this loving, caring God that wants the best for his kids. He wants the best for you. And as you're diligent and as you're faithful and you're holding on to God and you ask, you seek, you knock, and you cry out to God, and then when God answers that prayer, he comes through in a particular way. Maybe you're more comfortable with that, but I kind of sometimes struggle on a personal level. And we have to get over that because as a dad, I want my daughters to step off my shoulders. I want them to step into life in God, in life, in relationships, whatever realm and sphere of life. I want them to step off where I leave off. So I want them, you know, I think that's pretty much a desire for most parents, is that we want our kids to experience and to not achieve on a pressurized kind of sense, but just for them to be all that they were created to be. I'm not trying to live vicariously through my kids. You know, they're playing basketball. I never played basketball. I just love watching them play. It's the highlight to my week, going watching my girls play basketball and just seeing them start to excel in different things, and the friendships and their personalities and their character come shining through. So we have this understanding about the context of this parable is in with the persistence in prayer. Now, let me ask you, because I was challenged by this. This is the point I want us to take out of this today. Is how much do we pray and ask for the greatest gift or more of the greatest gift in our lives? Matthew said good gifts, but Luke says specifically the Holy Spirit. If I was to ask you, what's the greatest gift you could receive? I would say salvation. I would agree with you in that. But once you're in relationship with God, what's the greatest gift that you can ask for? I think Luke nails it. He nails it here by just saying, won't your Father give you the Holy Spirit? But yet I was thinking about it. It's like, do I actually spend more time desiring the greatest gift, which is the Holy Spirit, than I do presenting my requests and needs before God? Don't put your hand up, but is anyone challenged by that? It's like when we start to think about it, you start to think about the impact of asking God for more of the greatest gift, more of your presence, more of your spirit in my life. Just think about it for a second. What would start to take place in your heart, in your mind, in your life, if you had more of God's spirit released in your life? Think about it for a second. Yes, I do want you to think. Believe it or not, we want you to actually think for yourself. But what would that mean for your world? When the Holy Spirit, if we get desperate and we start to seek and we start to ask and we start to knock, God, I want more of your presence in our life. By that I mean when we come before God and we acknowledge that we fall short of his perfect standard, we've got sin and mistakes in our life, and we ask God to forgive us of those sins through what Christ has done upon the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. We ask the Father, Son, Holy Spirit to come and to be Lord and Savior in our life. His spirit is deposited within our spirit and we come alive to Christ and we can start an active and a real relationship with the creator of this universe. But the Bible, I believe, also teaches us that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians tells us that don't be drunk on wine because that will ruin your life, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, it's in the present tense, meaning that it's an ongoing infilling that we can experience of more and more of God's Spirit in our life. Is this making sense? So when I'm saying that we desire more of the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit in our life, it means that we have this God of eternal supply that wants to pour His Spirit more and more into our life, if we're up for it. So we're saying, God, I want less of my Spirit, I want less of my desires, I want less of my stuff, and I want more of your stuff in my life. I want you to increase and I need to decrease. I want Jesus to become more glorified and less of Phil in our relationship. I've got to die to self, but I want to come alive more and more to Christ. And it comes through His life-giving Spirit more and more in our lives. Are you with me this morning? So what would it mean in your world if maybe for a minute you started to take your focus off of your perceived needs? And I'm not saying they're not real. But what if we took our focus off those things and we started to say, God, I just need more of your Spirit in my life. You just begin to think what starts to happen when the very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead begins to be increased in your world. Can you understand how potentially, possibly, that how you see your situation, it might change? Can you understand that when you've got the breath of God in you who just has to speak and stars are put into place and planets are put into orbit and birds can take flight, that very Spirit that did all of that upon God's command is within you and is increasing. Could you imagine what would happen and how you see that person that irritates the hell out of you? Can you begin to see what you kind of take a look at that financial need and the insurance is due and you just somebody backed into your car and you've got to get that done, the excess on that, and the dog's about to have puppies and your daughter needs braces and it's just one thing. And instead of like looking at that, suddenly you begin to realize, no, I have got Jehovah Jireh on my side. My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory. So therefore, the natural circumstances aren't going to determine or dictate how I'm going to view life because I'm called to walk by faith and not by sight. How do I walk by faith? In the power of the Spirit. I want my life, the direction, the decisions I make, the creative ideas that I get when I'm in a conversation, what words do I use? And I can draw upon my natural abilities, which are obviously very limited. But I go, yet when I have the Creator of the universe and more of His Spirit in my life, Matthew tells us that don't worry about what you're going to say because my Spirit will give you the words to say. You go, yeah, Phil, but how do I live life? And I'm trying to live this spiritual life and it's just hard because the guys at work, they send this around. They get me to look at this I have this challenge around what I look at on the internet and, it's just so hard. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power, His Spirit gives us everything we need for life and godliness. It's His divine power. If I try to overcome the temptations that we get confronted with every single day in my own strength, I know that I would stumble and fall. But I'm saying, God, I want more of your Spirit in my life. God, I understand, Father, that I cannot do this in my own strength. But it's in those weaknesses that I need to invite you in, Holy Spirit, so in my weakness, your strength is made perfect and I become an overcomer. Can you just begin to imagine and see what would happen if we desire the greatest gift, which Luke nails in saying Holy Spirit? And they just go, you're getting all Pentecostal on us, Phil. Absolutely. Absolutely. I know the fact that I am standing here today and I have what I consider, you can ask that later, but what I consider to be a good marriage, a great marriage, and I'm trying to be a dad and all that sort of stuff and got great kids and I love their individuality and their strong personalities and the challenges that we have in the midst of all of that. It ain't perfect. Let me tell you, but I've got all that. The only reason I can say that I can stand here today with any of those things is because of God's presence and His Spirit in my life. The power and the boldness and the confidence. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you and I will give you power, I'll give you courage, I'll give you boldness, I'll give you confidence. People say to me, Phil, how do you end up having those kind of conversations? I go, I don't know. It's like, how do you know what to say? I don't know what to say. I'm just trusting and it's just all about being a spirit-led life and wanting and desiring, because the reality is we're all human and spiritually speaking, we leak, we get depleted, we get drained. So we've got to go before God. And guess what? You know, when you start praying for this, if you don't feel anything, it's not about how you feel. It's about the confession of your faith. But yet, if you don't feel anything, sometimes you just got to actually get into that prayer closet. There's times when I get before God and I go, God, I'm going to be like a stubborn 2 or 3 year old and I ain't leaving this room until you and I have done business today. And sometimes it's 15 minutes, sometimes it's an hour and a half, but sometimes it's just pressing through and it's just pressing in. Sometimes we've got to understand there are certain things worth fighting for. There are certain things we've got to fight for. Because there's a devil that knows if you can get more of the Spirit of God in your world, you're going to become so incredibly contagious, so incredibly dangerous, so incredibly influential for the kingdom of God. And he will try to stop and hinder that before it even begins. And some of us need to get a little bit of mongrel in us and start to actually man up, speaking to the men, start to man up and get some, I won't say it, but you know what I'm thinking, and actually go, no, this is worth fighting for. Let me ask you, what is worth fighting for? I know for a fact I will fight for my marriage. I will fight for my wife. I will fight for my kids. I will fight for my family. I will fight for my friends. I will fight for this church. Just the other night I had this weird dream, and I know it was all spiritual because there was this guy that came into a room that we were having a meal in as a church, and this guy just started to torment and aggravate people in our church. And I'm like, I'm the pastor, I'm supposed to be. But something came over me and I just had to go grab this guy and said, mate, you touch one more person and it's on. I said, mate, you either pull your head in or I'm going to ask you to leave. This is in my dream. And I'm thinking, there's a spiritual, something spiritual. There's a spirit of intimidation. There's something that's trying to come and intimidate people to keep them down. And it's like pushing people's heads down like this. And I'm going, not on my watch. I will fight for our church. Some of us need to just go, you know what? And if it does, if you don't get that feeling, because we're so feelings-based, man. Maybe we need to go back into the context of this passage and we need to ask and keep on asking. We need to keep on seeking. Well, I've tried this, I've tried that. Well, try something else. Somebody told me this is the way I should do it. This is how my prayer life should be. If it's not working for you, try something different. We've got more access to more songs and more podcasts and more literature and more books than in history than ever before in history. We've got no excuse, church. We've got no excuse for not finding a way that works for us to get into the presence of God that's going to help us seek God's face and desire more of his Spirit in our life. So this is where the dunamis, this is where the power, this is where the victory comes for us in our Christian walk. This is where the power comes for us to overcome the challenges and the obstacles that we're faced with. Saying you're a bit excited, Phil. It's not just because it's Father's Day and I've had 2 double shot flat whites this morning and pancakes with lots of sugar. It's got nothing to do with it. In another 45 minutes, I'll curl up in the fetal position, sucking my thumb, and it'll be all good. But no, I believe passionately in this church. I mean, I've been a pastor for 20 years or something now. I don't know, how many years is it? Nearly 20? We're married 20 years next year, so. But we started on dates. Well, okay, so I've been a pastor for that long. A long time. And I just, there's a lot of grey. A lot of grey. I didn't have this many grey before we started this church. It's just like, I'll do anything. I'll fight for this church. But I'm not colouring my hair. I put a stop there. I'm not doing it. No. Can I just have a show of hands? Because my daughter's giving me a hard time. Seriously. But Dad, you need to get your hair dyed a certain colour. No. That's... What, red? You want some red in there, do you, Troy? Ain't going to happen, buddy. Sorry, Captain America. It ain't happening. Show of hands. Yes, I should get my hair dyed. Great. If you just put your hand up, you're just operating out of the wrong spirit. You need more of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm going to grow old gracefully and just as it is. You know, sometimes, let me finish off by saying this. Sometimes we need to just, as I said, get back to that fight and just press in. And this is Father's Day, so I want to get a little bit blokey for a minute. Ladies, I know you're going to get something out of this and you can take something from this, but I guess my observation and his experience has been is that predominantly speaking spiritually in churches, it's the women that are on the front foot when it comes to the spiritual fight. And that bugs me. Because, now I'm not a male chauvinistic pig and I'm not talking about that, you know, men should rule it over the women, but the men should be actually manning up and leading the charge when it comes to actually getting before God and seeing spiritual breakthroughs. And actually, now I'm not talking about that you've got to pray out loud and be all, I'm talking about just a spiritual fervor and a steel within your bones that you go, you know what, we're going to fight together, side by side. We're not going to back down. We're not going to take this for our wives, for the women in our community, for the kids in our community, for our community and for this city. We are not going to back down. We're going to stand up and we're going to be counted. You know, I love the story. Let me finish by this. Some of you might just go, well, that wasn't me. Wasn't me. Was that Ian's or Mulyadi's? Check the screen. Oh, it's okay. Everyone breathe. It's okay. The screen's not cracked. It's okay. Okay, let me finish with this story. I love this story. In saying that there are certain things that are worth fighting for. And the reality is the world will look at you and look at I and just go, what are you doing? Why would you bother? Mate, seriously, why would you bother fighting for your marriage when it's like that? Why would you bother fighting for your kids when they're acting like that after all you've done for them? Why would you bother fighting for this or that? Why would you bother standing up for that when it's so irrelevant? Don't you know that kind of like thought is just old school? Don't you know that people don't think that anymore? I don't know if you've ever heard that, but people won't understand what I believe we should be willing to fight for according to God's word. And so I think in 2 Samuel 23... Verse 11 and 12, talking about David's mighty men. And here's the Father's Day little kind of five-minute wrap-up for 2015. And after him was Shammah. Everybody say Shammah. Shammah. The son of Agee, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. Let me stop right there. Right there, I would say, why bother? Let's not get into it. All I want to see is a show. Who's into lentils? No, it's a safe place. You're allowed to put your hand up. We're not going to criticise. We're not. Just put your hand up if you're into lentils. Okay, put your hands down. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'm not making this up. There was a piece of ground that was full of lentils. Now, I don't know how big this piece of land was. I don't know if it was as small as this little patch. I don't know if it was as big as like this area or whether it was like a farm of some sort. But no, it's a piece of land that's got lentils in it. So the people fled from the Philistines. The Israelites fled because a troop is coming. A troop is at least 30 men, at least, are coming towards them. Have to understand, the Israelites had very limited weapons at this stage because they'd just been raided so many times, they just didn't have much to defend themselves. So everyone runs because they've got no swords or shields or spears or anything like that to protect themselves. And really, it's lentils, right? So the people fled from the Philistines. But, everybody say but. I love big buts in the Bible, right? This is like, but he stationed himself. Shammah stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. And listen to this. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Not Shammah, it was the Lord. It was God's spirit upon Shammah that enabled him to do something extraordinary to protect a flipping lentil patch. But I mean, could you imagine, like, Shammah is standing in the middle of his lentil patch and he's standing there, I don't know whether he's looking around just going, lentils, but there was something deep within his spirit that was like, this is our land. This belongs to us. This is my family's land. No enemy is going to come and take this away from my family. It's not theirs. I'm not going to let them come and steal it. I'm not going to let the enemy come and steal the joy out of my marriage. I'm not going to let the enemy come and steal the joy and the destiny and the purpose of my kids' lives. I'm not going to let the enemy come in and steal my self-confidence and belief that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to stand in the middle of my patch. And could you imagine all the other people that were kind of like saying, Shammah, the Philistines are coming. They're coming. And he's like, yep, and? Come on, we've got to get out of here. Like, all these Philistines are coming and they're going to kill us. You know what the Philistines do to us Israelites. Shammah, it's not worth it. It's a plot of land with some lentils on it. And he goes, no, I'm staying. I'm not giving this up. These guys aren't stealing this. And you know what everyone, I reckon, would have said? When they looked at him, they look at the lentils, they look at him, they look at the lentils. The question would have been, why? Why? Do you know what Shammah said? Do you want to know? Shammah goes, why not? So when people say to you, why would you bother? Just go, why not? Why not? You come against me with sword and spear and shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day, God is going to give you over to me. I'm going to have the victory. I'm taking your head off. I'm feeding your carcass to the birds of the air. And today the Lord of hosts is going to bring a great victory. Why not? Why not? Why not? See, the greatest gift that God wants to give us, church, and has given, he's poured out his spirit. It's available to us. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. We have access to the creative force and power of the universe. We have access to the third person of the Trinity and the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, releasing his presence and power in our lives. But the thing is, let me challenge you this morning. Don't pray for it. Don't ask for it unless you're willing to have your life transformed. Don't you dare pray for it. Because otherwise, there will be a tension within you. You want more of your spirit in my life, but God begins to stir you and change your perspective, your understanding, your desire, your understanding of how things work, and you kind of start to resist that. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. In fact, don't pray for it in the first place. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. If you're not sure, just pray anyway, because we've got a God who gives good gifts. If you want a good gift, this week, can I ask you, challenge us as a church for this coming week before next Sunday. Just spend a few minutes each and every day. If you can get 10 minutes just to seek God, just purely around, God, I've got these needs, but you know what? For this one week, I'm not going to pray about those needs. I'm just going to pray, God, I want more of the greatest gift that you have given us, your Holy Spirit. Just spend 10 minutes a day. Begin to see what happens in your world. Begin to see what your understanding, your perception starts to happen around the needs and the things that are actually going on in your world and the challenges that you're dealing with. What have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? Let's pray. Father, this morning we just thank you. You are such a good God. I just pray for people in this room right now that maybe you've got an understanding or a previous learning around that they've just picked up from here and there, that God, you hold back, that you are a God that is just angry, or you're just a God who's distant or silent, and a God that only kind of gets involved when things go wrong. Father, this one, I speak out and I declare that God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. You are good and you want to give us good gifts, not things that are useless or detrimental. But you want to give us good gifts, Father God. And I know for a fact there are needs represented in this place. And Father, if you can clothe the birds of the air and the fields, the flowers in the fields, how much more will you take care of us, the pinnacle of your creation? So this morning, Father, we're incredibly blessed to know that, Father, the greatest gift that we can desire and hunger after after we've experienced your saving grace, is more of your presence, more of your spirit in our lives. I pray this coming week we'd have the courage, the boldness, if we're honest and we're open to being transformed, that we would just desire and we would get in, Father God, to your presence, and we would cry out, we would hunger, we'd get desperate for more of your presence, more of you, Holy Spirit, in our lives, less of us, more of you. And just as we're in this moment, can I just ask, maybe you've dropped in and out of this sermon, maybe you've got other stuff going in your head, but can I ask each one of us now, within the sound of my voice, that you would just make a decision in your heart and mind right now, that this week you're going to commit to at least 10 minutes a day just hungering after more of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's not about whether you feel anything. It's not about whether you notice something changing straight away. But each day for this coming week, God, we're just going to press in and we just say, God, we want more of your greatest gift. We want more of you, Holy Spirit, in our lives. More of your power, more of your courage, more of your boldness, more of your wisdom, more of your grace, more of your peace in our lives through the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I said today the greatest gift that we can receive is the gift of salvation. And I don't know everybody in this room, and I don't know where you're at with the whole God thing. But living your best life begins by accepting that you fall short of God's perfect standard. And every single one of us in this room has. There are no exceptions to that. But this morning, we all have an opportunity through God's unconditional love and grace gift of His only Son, Jesus, that we can experience the forgiveness of all of our wrongs and sins and come into right relationship with God and start to live life as we're created to be. It won't always be easy. There's going to be hardship. That is life. But God promises never to leave you. He promises to give you the strength, the courage, the healing, the wholeness you need to live more than a conqueror. If there's anybody in this room this morning, this is a personal decision between me, you, and God right now. And I'd love for you, if you go, yes, Phil, I want to start that relationship. I want to experience God's forgiveness. I want to be in right standing with God. I want to experience life to the full on earth and the assurance of eternal life forevermore with Him. If that's you today, can I just ask you to raise your hand? And after this service is finished, in just a couple of minutes, I'd love to spend some time just praying with you, talking about that. Is there anybody here this morning? Just raise your hand so I can see. Say, Phil, that's me. That's me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Father, again, just want to honor your presence here in the person, the power of the Holy Spirit. That God, you're here to do good things. You're here, you want to heal people, you want to make people feel whole, experience wholeness. You want people, Father God, to start to experience healing from their broken heart, and you want them to leave freer than what they came in. You came to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. So this morning, Holy Spirit, we just release you to bring healing and freedom into this house. We ask for a supernatural encounter for people right now as they sit. God, we don't have to yell. We don't have to scream. We just have to pray in the authority of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Healing in Jesus' name. As you sit there, if you're in pain right now, I'm not going to labor this. We're not going to go for long, but if you're in pain right now, I just speak healing into your life in Jesus' name. Back pain, be gone. Headaches, be gone. Sickness and disease, you are subject to the name of Jesus. We speak healing, a release of the supernatural power of God in this place this morning. Nothing is impossible for our God. Jesus, be glorified in this place. Those that are feeling burdened, heavy laden, let the burden be gone in Jesus' name. Be free in Jesus' name. Depression broken in Jesus' name. Anxiety gone in Jesus' name. Let the peace, the light, and love of Jesus come. Father, just pray your blessing on fathers and single parents in this place today as we go. May we know that we are affirmed and encouraged by you, that you want to help us to be the best parent, the best father that we can be. We just honor you as such an amazing dad, Abba, Daddy Father, for your love and goodness to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.